The views and opinions expressed on this podcast are not necessarily representative of any other entity. This content is intended for mature audiences only.
Yo, 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 what is going on, people? Welcome to Throwdown, episode 442. I'm your host, Tony Polanco, and tonight I'm joined by the returning one, Mr. Emilio Lopez.
Sup, people? How's it going? America!
Another returning one, Mr. Chris Seeley.
Hey, what's up, everyone?
We got Carlos Romero.
Yo, man, all I gotta say is...
Carlos never left.
I never left. I'm not, you know, I'm still here. 4th of July is officially the worst holiday of the year.
You know what? You're getting kicked off for that. Right, let me,
I got to press you on that. Another returning one, Mr. Adam Vale.
How you doing? I love America. Yeah. I'm like Carlos.
You know, and Mr. Brett Murdoch, who was holding it down with me and Carlos.
What up, people?
All right, we already know. Carlos, why you gotta explain that statement?
Yo, man, you got some...
Yo, man, you hate America? You fucking communist?
Right? Yo, man, all I gotta say is I'm proud to be an American. I celebrate the 4th of July. But these motherfucking people who feel like they should crack fireworks all fucking day and hour for the whole week until fucking 3 in the morning, I'm like, that's it. You know, Christmas, you get presents. You celebrate Jesus. Thanksgiving, you eat, you watch football, you're done. You know, 4th of July, it's like a whole
it's
week
whole
of people
month
reminding
now,
you.
See, you haven't realized that? It's the whole month.
Man, it messed up my sleep schedule, man.
That sucks, man. That's not
good. Call complaints. Call the popo.
Like they'll probably shoot him or something for being un-American.
And see, there you go. And somebody dies and it's your fault. Thanks a lot, Carlos. Thanks a lot.
Man. Yeah, that's my rant.
Yeah, no, I mean, a lot of people I was talking to this year are complaining about that. Like, fireworks were just, you know, they started early, they kept going, you know. Interestingly enough, my new neighborhood, no fireworks at all.
Well, your neighbors can't afford them. All you got is a bunch of crazy derelicts, so.
Yeah. Well, you know, those two hotels. But I think I know why, because most of the places here are just, you know, apartment buildings. There's no parks. You know,
that is true.
And I've been living here for like 6 months now, 7 months. I don't see children around here.
Oh,
no, it's a
like babies. You see babies, but not like children. You
well,
know,
there, any there is
a, well, I mean, you actually yeah. live right by a school. There,
you so. Do?
Yeah.
Because usually people, if they have kids, will want to be close to a school. And stuff.
Yeah. But like in my building, like the only children I've seen are babies. I haven't seen like children, you know. Very interesting. But then obviously when I went to go visit my mom, fucking fireworks going off the entire day, nonstop, you know. Then I went to my boy Mike's place out in Long Island. You know, not only did we shoot off our own fireworks, bought in Pennsylvania, by the way, Manny, because I can't buy them here. You know, the whole neighborhood was fucking lit up.
Yo, man, like Pennsylvania is like a different dimension. Like as soon as... just any inkling of anything, you know, like that could be that a firework can be put off for. You know, it's like, yo, man, we go to the park, you know, like it's always right. No, they have them like in parking lots. It's all over the place. Most of the other east, a lot of the East Coast states come down here. You know, like Jersey as are now. It's I think it's legal.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So.
Just but, go to Chinatown. Yeah, do it like the normal people. Go to Chinatown. You know, well, yeah. There's always somebody out in the open who doesn't care. Tells you it's $5, and then that's it. You buy what you got to get.
Well, and then you go out and do your business. That was the two options. You either go to Pennsylvania, or you go to to Chinatown, and LePan gives you fireworks.
I remember my hooligan days, going and get a bunch of M80s,
and then oh shit,
in the payphones at the bottom, you light two of them, and make sure you're at a distance, and poof, and then you get all the quarters. And the city wised up to that. So then on the third, they would empty out all of the payphone buckets. So that way when they would pop, get money. Those were the days.
That's it, man. All right. And because, I guess a good segue, because of the holiday, we didn't really have a lot of gaming news. This was pretty much a short week. It was only really, because like Monday, even though it was technically a work day, nobody really did anything. So the week really started on Wednesday, which fucked everybody up, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I know today when I was leaving the office, I'm like, yeah, I'll see you tomorrow. It's like, because I was thinking it was tomorrow's Wednesday. It's like, I don't come Fridays. I don't come in on Fridays, even though tomorrow I do, but that's a whole other story. Yeah, gaming news is quiet, so everyone could enjoy the excellence that is Final Fantasy 16. That's right, Ace Ali.
Yeah, man. Celebrate your American holiday by playing a Japanese game.
There you go.
Hey, we did it as kids. Why not?
Yeah, we did. Yeah, playing Nintendo, you know.
Yeah, playing Nintendo or Sega, man. That's it.
It's a Japanese game, but it's heavily inspired by a story made by an American that was heavily inspired by a British dude.
Yeah, this is very
true. Can't get any more American than that.
Yeah, right? You take everybody's stuff.
Circle of life.
Yeah. All right, so what do we have here? Some stories. Let's see here. First one. Microsoft seems to think we're going to get a PlayStation 5 this year. Isn't that interesting?
That is interesting.
Microsoft also thinks the handheld PlayStation will cost under $300. We talked about that last week on the FTC episode. But basically, this claim comes from, you know, a lot of those documents that were released during the court hearings, you know. Mm-hmm. So it says PlayStation likewise sells a less expensive digital version for $399, and it's expected to release a PlayStation 5 Slim this year at the same reduced price point. Very interesting, because remember, the rumor is that the PS Slim will be digital only, and that will also lead way to that attachable hard drive or whatever, or the external hard drive. Very interesting stuff.
I'm curious. I wish they did, because this shit is an eyesore. It's beastie looking.
Yeah, like as soon as that PlayStation 5 was revealed, it's like, can we get the slim version already?
Exactly.
You know, so I don't know.
You know what I wish?
Yeah, go ahead.
What I wish if they did a throwback and they made it look like the PlayStation 1. Okay. If we had something like that, like the disc version, it's like, oh, here's a tray. It's like, is that a PlayStation 1? No, a 5 that looks like a 1. Mind blown. Gotcha.
Yeah. Okay, so yeah, The Verge did say that too. I'll read what they said here. Insider Gaming reported last year that Sony was preparing for a PS5 with a detachable disk drive. Oh, it's a disk drive for September 2023. The console is rumored to be sold on its own without the disk drive or in a bundle, which suggests Sony could be considering making the slimmer version of the PS5 the default. This would allow people to pick with or without a bundle drive and with the option to add a drive later on if needed. Currently, you have to either buy a $399 PS5 digital or $499 with the disc drive. So
that saves money.
Yeah. So we literally predicted this last year. You know, someone was about to say something.
Who uses discs for the PS5? Anybody here? I don't use a disc.
Only time I use it for PS5.
But I don't buy many games.
Yeah.
I don't have a 5 yet, so
yeah.
But even on your PlayStation 4, I mean, who's still in any Manny console does. Gen right now? Who's still, you're still doing physical, Manny?
Manny does,
yeah, I'm still doing physical, but I don't. But here's the thing, the amount of games that I buy has always been very fairly low, so like, I don't play every single game per year,
yeah. Manny, you only buy like what, 2 or 3 games at most this a year, like
two even or three that. Games, yeah. Like, I would have to say, like, the era that I probably bought the most was probably PlayStation 1 and 2. But, you know, then after that, 3, there's pretty few and far between, and 4 definitely. So it's actually gotten lower and lower.
Yeah. I forgot what I was going to say. So we've pretty much been saying this, you know, ever since this rumor came out. And I guess the timing will be interesting because, you know, if we're going to make any more bold predictions, if this is going to be the standard PlayStation 5, according to this rumor, Manny, I'm kind of addressing this to you. I think they're probably going to make that bundle with Spider-Man. So you, yeah, my friend, your patience potentially could pay off because you'll get a slim PS5 bundled with Spider-Man. I think that's going to happen. We're going to get
PS5. That would be Spider-Man. Really good.
Yep.
That'd be pretty good. But
so that's what I think is going to happen. Because remember, Spider-Man.
They always do a Spider-Man bundle with it. Remember,
I'm not making any bold predictions. I'm making like the easiest fucking prediction. If this thing is real, the PS5 Slim is real, they're going to bundle this shit with Spider-Man.
Yeah.
You know?
Makes sense.
Yeah. That's what it was, Adam. The only time I use my disc drive on the PS5 is when I'm watching Blu-rays. I don't buy games like physically. Yeah, you know.
Yeah, no. I don't want paper cuts.
You know, it's crazy, man. So Mighty Nerd, there you go. You're getting your PS5 Slim, man. You know, I know you've been talking about that forever.
Jumping at the bit on that one.
Yeah, but of course the funny part is that this comes out of Microsoft. You know,
the judge was spilling shit too. So
the thing is that they probably do have an inkling that of something that's coming.
Yeah,
they usually do know.
Yeah,
It's interesting hearing that, you know, like essentially, you know, like yeah, like them essentially spilling the beans on everything.
Yeah, yeah, no, and this would be the time when PlayStation normally releases a slim version of a console. We're 3 years in. This is when they always do this stuff. Like literally for every console, you know, this is when they do it. So, not surprising there. The question is, will I buy it? Probably not. I'll wait for that Pro. if it even comes out, you know, but we shall see about that. Go ahead, Carlos.
Yeah, I feel, you know, we talked about it. The last two generations have been around 7 years.
Yeah.
So the mid-gen refresh or whatever the Slim or even the Pro probably will release third or fourth year into the generation. We're in year three. So yeah, it follows the timeline. But yeah, like you, Tony, I'm not gonna get a Slim. I didn't get the last Slim.
Yeah, neither did I.
Yeah.
I didn't pick up the Slim, fourth Slim.
I think the only time I bought
you did buy the super version though.
Yeah, I bought the Pro, but I didn't buy the Slim.
The Pro.
I bought the PS3 Slim because my fat died, you know.
One of the things that got me to get the Pro is because I thought it was going to be quieter than the 4. I was like, oh, this is going to be louder. I can't wait. You know, I put in the 2 terabyte. I was all excited. And within like a month, it's like, I'm like, what just happened? They bamboozled me. They were like, oh, yeah, it's going to be better. It's going to be quiet. No. So loud.
It's crazy. Is anybody going to get the Slim besides Manny?
I want to see it. I want to see it. If it's quiet, like again, going, I want to.
Yeah, PS5 is quiet. PS5 is quiet. You know.
Yeah, this one is quiet. It is quiet. It's good, but if it's smaller, significantly smaller, not just like, oh, yeah, we made a little one. I want something that, I don't know, looks nice. This is not doesn't look nice.
It doesn't. It's an ugly console.
What are they thinking? Like you had all these other good looking ones. You know, PS4 was good. It had that weird looking book thing shape going on. It was fine. But this, man, it's like total opposite. They went total. They were always about making smaller looking things. Besides,
except for the PS3, yeah, the fat one was, you know,
this fat board. But after that, they learned their lesson, and then they're like, "Now we're just gonna give you the biggest fucking shit we can make."
Yeah, right. Fucking wild. All right, we'll move on here. Completely changing the topics. Talk about Halo Infinite. Remember that game?
No.
You know who else forgot it? Steam. It's lost 98% of its player base on Steam. God damn, that is brutal. This was supposed to be the game, you know.
This was
supposed to be the game that was supposed to change the fortunes of the Xbox Series X, man.
I mean, it is the game that embarrassed the hell out of Microsoft. So
yeah, yeah, man. Good game. I mean, we got Craig out of it, but that's about it, you know. That shit is crazy, man.
Don't worry. They bought 83 studios. And don't worry. Starfield's a game now. Forget Halo Infinite. It's all on Starfield.
I got to see it to believe it, man.
Yeah. I'm laughing because it's like, I just like kick the can down the road. It's like, they acquired many studios. Mm-hmm. And oh my God, the initial reception with the showcase with Fable and all that, everybody's like, oh, what the fuck is this?
By the way, I'm sorry, I gotta call this out, man. I'm reading this from GameStop, right? Or GameSpot. Listen to this shit. Halo Infinite has lost 98% of its player count on Steam, a potential indicator that the high-profile exclusive is struggling to retain an audience. Potential? 98% loss?
Come on now.
You fucking kidding me? Potential? Wow.
It's like abandoned. It's practically abandoned. If there's a margin of error for that of 2%, then it's you could have 100% loss of player base, right?
Yeah.
It's ridiculous how potential... Oh, everybody leaving is only a potential indicator of it struggling? Oh,
that line... Chris, you'll appreciate it. This deadline is just as bad as the people making excuses for why the Little Mermaid failed, you know?
Oh, yeah.
It's like, okay, guys, come on now. How fast can you spin, you know? But that is bad. Damn! That is great. Halo, man, that's it. I don't know what's going to happen with this franchise, you know?
It's going to keep getting rebooted. They'll never give up because that's a big sign of defeat. They're just going to keep spinning these shits out until one of them hits. That's the only thing I can think of. They're just going to keep cranking them out. Like, all right, we fucked up on this one. Let's slap a new logo on this. Let's put 343 out. We got Tito Game Development in. You guys are doing it now. Yeah, that's it. Because then it's fresh in people's mind. It's no different than like a restaurant that goes out of business. Like, oh, and once it says new management, you give them the benefit of the doubt. You're like, yeah, that last chef didn't know what the fuck he was doing, but maybe this guy does. That's the only thing I think that could save it, because this game, it was so bad. It was still bad. The multiplayer felt fine, but it felt like Halo of old. And that's not always a good thing because you want something new. It's like, hey, if I want to play that, I'll play the Master Chief Collection. That still works. So give me something new. And it just didn't have that feel besides a bunch of suits and stuff like that, cosmetics. But it just wasn't enough. And then, of course, the campaign was whack. So.
Yeah, I mean, that's something we talked about before. It's like, what can Halo do to, you know, get on top again? I don't know if it can do anything at this point, you know?
Not be Halo.
I mean, but then, you know, the few Halo fans get mad about that.
They need to bring back what you call it. I'm blanking on the Halo, the other one, the spinoff where you had the team.
ODST.
There you go. Just build off of that. Focus on a successful spinoff. And now it's a successful spinoff. Focus on that and take it from there and let this cool down and really go back to the drawing board with Master Chief. People like that ODST. It was fun. I'm replaying it.
Man, what? You know, I remember, Adam, I remember playing Infinite with you and your buddy.
Uh-oh.
And it's like that the best part of the whole session was just listening to your buddy say sucka the whole time.
Yeah, he's funny.
The game, man, it was so bad.
It was. And he stuck with it. After we beat, I'm telling you, once we finished and the credits rolled, I backed out and I deleted that shit. And he was like, what are you doing? We got all the side missions. I'm like, you could do it by your damn self. I'm not doing anything. I am done. Everything looked the same. Every base inside looked the same. We were lost. We're like, were we here already? No, according to the map, we were not here already. But this looks like we were here already. It was so boring. So yeah, this big open world sounds great. But if everything looks the same, it's a waste of time.
Yeah, it was really bad, man.
Damn. Halo, you know? All right, moving on here. What do we have? Again, slow week, man. Not much happened. This one's fun. Remember how our boy, Mr. Jim Ryan, said that the gaming industry unilaterally doesn't like Xbox Game Pass? He said that. He said they all hate it. Well, one developer came out to say, no, Mr. Jim Ryan, that is not true. God damn it, Game Rant. Because I have ad blocker on. Just let it be stopped. Give me a second here.
Oh, we knew that was either way. We knew it was bullshit because other studios that took, because they do get a lump sum. And I'm sure there's going to be some that don't like it. I gave that Spotify reference last time. It's like, and some that do. It all depends on the games. So it is what it is.
I just find that funny. It's like, we even called it out when we talked about it on the Thursday show. It's like, really? Because he said, I talked to Manny, you weren't here for that, you know, to the Jim Ryan impersonation, mm-hmm. where he said, I've talked to every developer and they all told me it's shit. You know? Like, no,
yeah, they put their games on PlayStation Plus. We got Call of Duty coming. You heard about that? That's going to be a Plus game.
Yeah.
You got a Call of Duty one. They get money up front. Who doesn't want that money up front? Come on.
This is bullshit because, like, we've heard several developers come out and publicly state, they're like, oh yeah, no, this is actually pretty great. Like, it's a good thing for us. It's a good value. It's a good deal. I can think of at least two or three that I've seen, like, from the developers themselves on, like, Twitter,
And then Jim Ryan comes out and he's like, no, I've talked to everybody and that's not what they said.
he talked to everybody.
Yeah, like it just feels like a weird thing. Like when somebody says that, like, no, I talked to everybody and you're wrong. Like, I'm sorry, that's just a weird kind of statement, but sure. Like, but I get why he said it. I understand the whole point, but like, it's not believable, and it was kind of dumb to throw out there. That's all I'm saying.
I guess the only benefit of the doubt I would give to Jim Ryan is he does talk to a lot of developers, and he probably talks about this kind of stuff. I mean, when he says talking to developers, it can mean anything these days. It can mean the people programming. It can mean the director, the PR person. It could be anything. So Jim Ryan talking to the director of God of War, and maybe the PR person thinks Game Pass is good, but maybe the director thinks it's bad. So
it doesn't make much sense, because PlayStation has subscription services that have a bunch of third-party games on it. They are paying those third parties to have those games on those subscription services
But I think a lot of those third-party games that are put on them, and this is just speculation on my part, I think those are the ones that either have already been long in the tooth and aren't selling as many copies, or ones that need invigoration.
So you're thinking that he means more of like new game. Well, yeah, here's the answer to that. If you're a developer, don't take the deal. That's it. Like, all right, how much are you offering? X amount of money. Nah, we'll take our chance at just putting it out there and see if we get the money. Thanks, though. That's all. Just say no. They're not forcing anybody. Just don't do it.
I'm not trying to get political here, but that statement Ryan said, it just sounds like a very Trump thing to say. I've spoken with all of them and they assured me. Oh man, hilarious. let me find this developer. God damn it. Oh yeah, I had to open an incognito window so I could read this shit. No, I'm not gonna unblock the ads. Fuck you. You know?
Christ, Honest Ryan said this.
Yeah.
Believe me.
Sports Interactive Director Miles Jacobson. I didn't even know that's a studio. Hit back at Sony's recent criticism of Xbox Game Pass. Blah, blah. This is a badly written article. Where's the fucking quote?
Well, remember that there was also that other developer that I sent you, the one that worked on a Jedi Survivor. Because also conflicting with the whole, they'll make things bad on it. It's like no developer tries to make a bad game. Remember, it was the Jedi Survivor. Yeah, Respawn guy. Yeah, sorry. Yeah.
Oh, here we go. From Sports Interactive's perspective, the decision to bring Football Manager to Xbox Game Pass yielded extremely positive results, not least because it was massively expanded the reach of the studio's flagship series. So, yeah, he says, like, yo, we put our game on Game Pass and it blew up.
You ever played? Well, you probably know.
I don't play that shit.
I don't like that.
Oh, it's a Japanese. What?
Excuse me?
Oh, no, it was about Sega. This article is written badly. I'm sorry. Anyway, go on.
I just imagine someone, the FTC, Microsoft and Sony's talking and stuff, and the FTC's like, oh, we have a source. Someone says that Game Pass is bad for gaming. This is from the Blue Box CEO, Karaman.
Yeah, right. Oh, man. This is interesting. So Sports Interactive, their parent company is Sega.
Sega.
By the way, I have that in here. I don't know if you guys saw that big Sega leak that happened earlier this week. It will go over it, some of the finer points. But just basically some stuff about from the Sega Saturn era, where they literally thought they were going to be able to beat PlayStation. Funny how that worked out, all right, so yeah, there you go. Mr. Jim Ryan, not every game developer thinks that Game Pass is bad.
Fucking nuts.
All right, moving on here. What else do we have? Our boy's back.
Boys are back in town.
Mr. Peter Molyneux.
Oh, is he here? Yeah. Is he here to steal some more money?
So check this out. Here's the headline. Peter Molyneux teases new project with an idea that's never been seen in a game before. Never change, Mr. Peter Molyneux.
It has never been seen before in gaming history.
But does it start with a seed?
It is called the planet Krypton.
Isn't he the one that showed off Milo? Right?
Yeah,
the greatest thing that's ever been created.
Yeah, and we never got him.
The guy literally admitted that he was lying to get people excited about things and to get journalists' attention. He said that. He goes, "I would lie." It's like, dude. So this is what he says. Why does this sound like a Voltron intro? In days gone by. Anyway, in days gone by, I would just start by telling you about the whole game and the whole game design and why it was going to be the most brilliant game in the world. I'm not going to do that, but you kind of already did.
He's just going to be honest with us about why this is the most brilliant game in the world.
Yeah. What Peter Molyneux did say, however, was that this all-new mechanic would be part of a more quote-unquote familiar environment that was more like a kind of Fable black and white dungeon keeper kind of experience. Okay, so he's calling back to his old games. This guy's just hyping himself up again as usual, you know.
He's gonna do something completely new that feels like all the classics. Okay, easily done.
Yeah, he says we're definitely leading on PC and console, mainly because we need the power. Okay, so I guess it's going to be a big game. This game is the first game I've coded or been a coder on since Black and White. So it makes it very special to me. It has been evolving, and we've been exploring ideas about it for almost 5 years now. So it's very, very close to my heart. All right. So we shall see if this game's going to be revolutionary.
I mean, how can it be anything but?
Yeah, it's Peter Molyneux, man.
They're leveraging the power of the PC and consoles, which is all of them. So.
It's all of them, yeah, exactly. I guess it's not going to be using mobile, so that's a good thing, you know.
Oh yeah, okay, that's good. No,
ridiculous.
He is a master of turning phrases. I will give him that.
Yeah, good on you, Mr. Peter Molyneux. You keep doing your thing, man. All right. And then, yeah, let's talk about the Sega leak. But I'm not going to read, because there's a lot of shit that came out, you know? I'm reading this from Kotaku, who released some other bullshit article this week about Final Fantasy. I don't know if you guys saw that. Like, all right, guys.
Was it not diverse enough or something?
They already released one of those, you know, when the game first announced. Yeah, they did. This is Kotaku, dude. You know, they were basically saying that, you know, the girl Jill is just an ornament. She has no agency, you know, that type of nonsense. Even though she does, but that's a whole other story. Anyway, so I'll read this from him. While Microsoft's FTC case has let the world catch a glimpse behind the scenes at a modern platform holder's emails, at the same time, an enormous treasure trove of old Sega documents from the 90s have leaked, and they go a long way to explaining why Sega isn't a platform holder anymore. The documents collected and uploaded to Sega Retro are a mixed bag of everything from E3 floor plans to financial results. Some of the highlights, though, are internal emails like this one from March 1996, where former Sega of America CEO Tom Kalinske writes about the Sega Saturn versus Sony PlayStation, a fight that did not end up going the way it started. Let's read what Mr. Tom Kalinske had to say, you know? So he goes, it's one thing to hear / read about how well we are doing in Japan versus Sony. It's another to personally witness it. I just visited 10 retail stores in Tokyo, mostly in Akihabara. It's now spring break, so the crowds of teens / college kids are huge. We are killing Sony. In every store, Saturn hardware is sold out, and there are stacks of PlayStations. The retailers commented that they can't compare the true sales rate because Saturn sells out before they can measure accurately. Our interactive displays are better, our software displays and stocking far superior. It is not unusual to see 40 to 50 copies of Panzer Dragoon Zoo or Virtua Fighter 2 stocked in even small stores, and they are selling fast. I wish I could get all our staff, salespeople, retailers, analysts, media, etc., to see and understand what's happening in Japan. They would then understand why we will win here in the U.S. eventually. Whoa. Shit.
Oh.
Wow. Now, here's the thing. Hurt. Yeah. Here's the thing. The Sega Saturn was huge in Japan. It didn't beat the PlayStation, but it was a monster over there. So much so. And this is true. People, you know, in America, like, the next thing I'm going to say to people in America, they're like, what the fuck are you talking about? When this Dreamcast was announced, in Japan, they were like, the fuck do we need that for? We got a Saturn. That's how beloved that system was. It wasn't the case like that over here in America, though. The Saturn was a fucking failure, you know?
And part of the reasoning why is brand confusion.
Brand confusion at the 32X, which was forced on Sega of America, by the way. Even Tom Kalinske was like, that's a bad idea. What the fuck are we doing? You know?
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, Say it's interesting, like, and Adam, you read the book too, so you know this. Like, when Sega let Tom Kalinske do his thing, they did great.
Yeah.
You know, they did great. And then when, you know, the Japanese side, Sega of Japan, started getting jealous of Sega of America, they started putting all these restrictions on some, and then like literally go release a 32X.
Yeah, there was like, no reason for it.
None.
Yeah.
And the thing is,
and the other problem with it is that none of the games that for the 32X worked for the new Sega Saturn.
Yeah, even though it had a cartridge slot, you know,
it had a cartridge slot. Like theoretically, if a smart way to do this is like, okay, this thing plays those new Sega those Sega 32X games. I feel like if it would have done that, people wouldn't have been like so iffy on it.
Yeah.
You know? Because like people are already spent all this money on their damn Genesis and the Sega CD and all that stuff. And then to hear, oh, wait, the next year, a new console is coming out. To me, you know, I mean, most of us, with the exception of you, Tony, fuck that shit.
I sold all that to get a PlayStation. Remember, Benny, I got all my stuff. I packed all that shit up and I brought it down.
You even sold that last Sega Sega CD.
The Sega CD
combo. I can't remember.
It was an attachment. Yeah, you put it underneath.
No. It was a combo one that you had. You had one that was the Sega CD and the Sega Genesis combined into one thing.
Yeah,
that shit is worth a lot of money, by the way.
I know. That came with like this Jimi Hendrix mix CD. It was weird, but I didn't know at the time. We didn't know shit, so I just fucking traded that in. I wound up getting the PlayStation. I remember I had Mortal Kombat, and I got that ESPN Extreme Games or something.
Demolition Derby, I want to say.
Yes,
I
think you had that too. Derby, that was awesome.
Yeah. Again, it's so insane. When you got to read that book, it's a fucking great Console Wars. Blake Lively, I believe, is the
it's also a movie. There's also a documentary doc movie.
Oh, I didn't know that. That's cool. But that's right. Seth Rogen was involved, wasn't he?
Yeah.
Was he? I don't remember.
That one didn't come out.
Oh, okay.
There's just a documentary that's about it called Console Wars.
Okay.
I'll tell you where you can watch.
The book is fantastic. But the other thing that stuck out, you know, they talked about, because it was all first person stories and stuff, just dramatized. But basically, Tom Kalinske met with Sony there, you know, after, you know, Nintendo fucked over Sony. Sony was like, hey, who do we partner with now? And Tom Kalinske was talking to them so they could make a Sega PlayStation. They were trying to make that happen, right? So Sony and Sega were talking, but they couldn't, because remember, Sega wanted to make the ultimate 2D console, whereas Sony wanted to make the ultimate 3D console. And at the end of it, Ken Kutaragi was like, no, we can't work with these guys, you know? So that fell through. Then after that, Tom Kalinske met with Silicon Graphics, because they're like, hey, we got this awesome tech that'll be great for a video game console. They went to Sega and they tried to make something happen. That fell through. So Silicon Graphics was like, okay, we'll go with Nintendo. Nintendo 64. They had two chances of making a beast-ass console, and they fucked it up because of Sega of Japan. You know, it's crazy.
It says you can watch it on Amazon Channel, Paramount Plus, and also Apple.
Yeah, and then there's this one story in there that's great. Well, basically, one of the Sega of America executives, he goes over to Japan. You know, they're doing a little meeting or whatever. They go to a sushi spot, and you know those fish that, like, if they aren't cut right, it'll kill you. Like, you know what I'm saying?
Fish,
fugu.
Yeah. So they brought a plate of this stuff, right? And all the Japanese guys were like, "We're not touching this shit." American guys gobbling the shit up, right? And then he's like, "Oh, that's why these guys are failing. They don't want to take any risks." You know, I'm like, "Damn, man, that's some crazy shit." You know. Reading some of these documents is interesting. How, like, at first they were like hopeful, You know, they're like, yeah, we're gonna beat the PlayStation. And then as time goes on, they're like, oh fuck, how do we play catch up? You know, which is nuts.
So sad.
Yeah, it really is, man. They could have done it, you know. But at the same time, you know, Sega is in a very good spot now. So ultimately, they had a happy ending. But as obvious as a console maker, yeah, that went badly, you know.
I remember when first time I started seeing Sonic on Nintendo games.
Yeah, that was a trip, man. What the fuck? Yeah, I remember that. I remember, you know, it was like, yo, what is going on here? It didn't seem right, you know.
No, it just
because there were the eternal
that was the enemy right there. Yeah, that was the first real battle.
Yeah, my bad, Ace Ollie. Not Blake Lively. Blake Harris. That's the guy's name. Who the fuck is Blake Lively? It was a woman, I think. Yeah. But yeah. And guys, that's literally all the news. Nothing happened this week. So let's go to the games we've been playing. And Adam, we'll go to you because I'm pretty sure you played like 50 games during the holiday break.
Yeah, because there's Steam Summer Sale. There's all kinds of stuff that's out there. I stick with my FIFA. Like right now, I have the Steam Deck in my hand. What am I playing? Cyberpunk on here, been playing. Oh, Freedom Fighters, they brought that back. That was cool. That's on here, been playing that. Still playing One Finger Death Punch 2. Love that game. Everybody needs to be playing that. Replaying Wildlands on the Steam Deck because I don't know why I keep replaying all the but I do it. Street Fighter 6, still playing that. They got some new DLC coming. We're getting, I think,
Rashid.
Yeah, Rashid's coming. So, been playing that. AEW Fight Forever, playing that. That's fun. Arcade style wrestling game. And a few other games I can't talk about. But playing those. And I think that's... Yeah, this and Mario Kart 8. I can't stop. I was thinking about it the other day. I probably play Mario Kart 8 more than any other because it's so quick. I just only have a little bit of time. I just want to race around. It's faster to boot that up than to boot up, let's say, Forza or something like that. It just takes too long.
Yeah, so you're the reason that game's successful.
That's it. That's
it. Pick up and play.
Pick up, do like two tracks. I looked at the time, I was like, all right, only 5 minutes to do these two breaks. That's.
Yeah, I don't know, man. I bought that game, too. I was still playing Switch. Probably played for it. I'm like, this game's stupid. Like, I like the old Mario Kart from, like, the SNES, you know? I don't like that new one. I like the old
school. Is it the way the camera moves around? Is that what it is?
Like, I don't know what it is. It's something about it I don't like, man. I can't put my finger on it, but I don't like it.
The camera angle, the way that it would tilt and all that, that pulled me in because there was a game that was a four-wheeler ATV game you play called Fuel.
I think it was the controls are fucking me up. It's like you got to hold the face button to race. I know that's the way it used to be back in the day.
Yeah.
But it's like, come on, man. Triggers, man. What the fuck are we doing here? You know,
you can fix that on the Steam Deck.
Yeah, probably can. Yeah,
yeah, the custom thing. You can change all of it.
Yeah,
so but but it's fun. It's a fun little game, and it's got a lot of tracks. What I wish it did have, and it doesn't till this day, is a way that you can build your own track list. Because there's some that I like. The thing, because you always have to do four races. I'm like, oh well, I only like the second track on that one. I like the third one, and now I got to race all these other ones just to get to the one I like. I hate that. I wish I could build my own collection and then just race on those all day. Hey, maybe in the next one.
Yeah. All right. Chris, what have you been playing lately?
Oh, sorry. Well, besides just peeking at Kristen playing Tears of the Kingdom, I'm two away from the platinum for Resident Evil 4. So I was plugging away at that. And I picked up a couple of things in the Steam sale. So yeah, shout out to Adam. Adam told me, he's like, yo, look at this game's on Steam. And I had Lapse on Blasphemous, and it was on sale with all the DLC and stuff. And it's like 2D Dark Souls, basically, this bleak fucking world. You think Dark Souls is depressing. The world of Blasphemous is like, just,
oh, shit.
Just take. I want to take my sword with a start and go, oh, I'm out. This place is horrible. But I was playing that. I picked up that Black Mesa, that fan remake of Half-Life. Oh,
the Half-Life one? I was thinking about how is it?
Yeah.
It looks good, man. It's Half-Life, but it looks way nicer.
I picked up 13. That's the other one. That old one. Remember 13?
Oh, no. Yes. The remake they did?
No, not the remake. It's the original one. the original one, but they put that on PC. So I picked that. That was, again, like $2.
Yeah, so there's stuff like I'm playing Blasphemous and Black Mesa on Steam Deck, but really on let's say I have a bunch of stuff to play, but I've just been trying to, you know, with the time I have, just platinum RE4 and then I can move on.
Oh, nice. Yeah, you're still on that journey.
Two away. I have to do get S plus on hardcore and then I'm done. That's a tough one because when you do an S plus run, that means you start a new game, which means all your shit is back to the basics, right?
Shit.
You can't do new game plus. You have to do a new game and then beat the game in under like 5 hours and, you know, no deaths and all that stuff. So it's that's always fun.
Yeah, that's a lot. Oh, man. You already know, man, I'm still playing through that Final Fantasy 16. Loving it. I'm doing all the side stuff. I'm like 92% done with the game. But I got to another point where I'm like, oh, I could go back to the main base. So going to do some more monster hunts. I'm trying to get the ultimate sword right now, which will be fun. And yeah, man, like the deeper you get into the game, the more fun the combat gets because you get like more abilities and stuff. And yeah, I've been having a blast. Yeah. Oh, by the way, there's a new patch that came out. Brett, you might be interested in this. They removed the motion blur because I know you had a problem with that.
Oh, thank God.
So you could switch it on. You could, because apparently motion blur was switched all the way to 5, so now you could toggle it down to 0 if you want.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. So, yeah, I don't really have much more to say than I haven't said before. Final Fantasy 16 is fucking dope. Brett, do you have any more insight in the game? Because I'm pretty sure you've been playing.
Final Fantasy 16? I mean, it's... Excuse me. It's a really good game. I don't know how I feel about the identity. Like, I'm definitely enjoying playing it. I feel like I like the combat. Like, everything feels 90% on it, which should be good, right? Like, that should be fantastic. 9 out of 10, sure. But, like, some stuff just feels weird and off. But overall, like, it's a fantastic game. It's fun. It's absolutely gorgeous. It kind of makes me kind of wish in some of the more cinematic battles. I was telling Tony that, like, some of these almost feel like we're going back to borderline turn-based because, like, I kind of have control, but I kind of don't. I'm more influencing the action than directly controlling it, and it looks gorgeous as a trade-off, and like I kind of like that. It makes me wish a little bit that they'd commit a game to that mechanic, and it wouldn't have to necessarily be strictly turn-based, but like normally I don't like quick-time events, but like that doesn't feel like a quick-time event, or it feels like a quick-time event like maybe with options, or maybe they just do a really good job of it. But overall, absolutely, it's fun. I'm enjoying it.
They give you a lot of time to press the button, it seems like.
Oh, they do. They do. Yeah, like, it doesn't feel rushed or anything like that. Like, and the tempo, like, the buttons that you press are the buttons that you think you would press anyway. Yeah. Dodge out of the way, it's going to have you press dodge. And it kind of does it almost like on a beat or like a story beat.
It's an explanation point I always I look at it as.
Yeah.
It's like beating the boss. Explanation point.
Exactly.
Or like, yeah, oh, big attack is coming. Block it. Hit the attack button a lot.
Oh. Yeah. So it doesn't feel like it's taking the control away from you. It just feels more like emphasis on something awesome kind of deal.
Yeah,
so.
Pretty much. I think I said that. Yeah, I did say this. Like, what I really like is like. The color tells you what you're supposed to press even before the actual button prompt shows up. So when I see that screen flash blue, there are those cinematic things. I know to press the attack. When it's red, I know to hit R1, you know, to dodge. So I like that visual cue, you know.
Mm.
It's nice, man. All right, and Brett, go ahead.
I'll be honest though, like I've been playing Diablo.
I was gonna go, Brett, tell us about the game you're really in love with.
Yeah. I'm still playing Diablo and I'm still enjoying the hell out of it.
Doesn't the season start today? Isn't season 1 today or something?
No. They did they actually did a kind of developer chat today that went over when the seasons are gonna start and things like that. So we actually learned a lot of information today. I'm really excited about the new season. I never thought I'd be like, man, you know how like are you just ready to start all over again? I'm like, actually, I kind of am. Like, there's so many different ways to build and play the game, and they also feel so vastly different. Like, even within the same class, like, the entire time I've been playing a Necromancer, I'm like, man, my Necromancer is fun. But this Blood Surge Necromancer just seems like they could explode in a volley of blood. That just looks super fun, too. And again, it's a whole different way to play the game. So, like, I may go back and play a Necromancer again, which sounds absolutely ridiculous. But even down to, like, the way the game's built, just getting a certain item that augments your abilities in a certain way. Like, I have one that turns my corpse explosions into running corpses that when they automatically seek out a bad guy, they then explode.
So you turn him into Serious Sam mode.
Yeah, basically. And that changes the mechanics and the way that the game plays. Like, now I go in and I do burst damage and I create a bunch of corpses around me. And then I start just, you know, actually, you know what it reminds me of? It reminds me of the Super Kamikaze ghost attack from Gotenz when he like makes the little ghosts.
Oh God!
Yeah, that's exactly what that shit reminds me of, and it's super fun. So like, I'll kind of put it down to, I think it's pretty cool when a game is made in a way that I'm like, yeah, I've just been enjoying it, and I'm wanting new ways to interact with it, and the new seasons. They're adding a bunch of, like, corrupted hearts that you can, like, get off of enemies. Like, certain enemies are just going to war you out with crazy corruption. You can pull out their heart and start a little quest that'll help you find special hearts that you can then put in parts of your gear that are going to change the way that your skills work. So it's going to change the fundamental mechanics of the underlying game, as well as having new quest stuff and new transmogs and things like that. So I at first I wasn't really sold on seasons, but like hearing how they're going to do it, I'm kind of like, you know what? That actually does sound like fun. Like everybody's going to start over and make a new character. So you're going to get that, you know, you've heard me talk about like the best time in like Dark Souls games is the first few weeks when everybody's kind of doing the same rush again. And I kind of understand now why seasons are a thing, because it...
I heard they showed off some really cool cosmetic suit or whatever, but you have to get hit, like, level 90 in order to get it.
I mean, yeah, that's not, like... It, like, I'm pushing Nightmare Dungeons on World Tier 4 Torment mode, which is the hardest the game gets. I'm still level 82. So the idea is that, like, right around, if you can get to Torment mode level 4... end game 100, there's another version of the final boss, Lilith, Uber Lilith, and not many people can beat Uber Lilith. So it's kind of a quest to get strong enough and learn to fight and defeat Uber Lilith. So that's the real end game. So I don't think, you know, saying that you should be level 90 or whatever is going to be a big deal for people that were kind of going for that stuff, which is, I think, most of the fan base, eventually. And, of course, you don't have to participate in seasons. It's completely optional.
Cool. Weren't some of the other guys going to be playing Diablo?
I was playing, but remember I went on vacation, and when I came back, they're all high level. Like, I think if I go in there, I wouldn't be able to kill anybody. I would have to stand back. And
well, first of all, I'd come to you, and that just means I'd kill everything for you.
Do I get XP, or does that work then?
Like, oh, no, yeah, that's like, it would power level the shit out of you. That's how it would work. But again, like, and see, that's the thing, like, that's kind of a good reason for seasons. Like, I could be like, yeah, I'm going to start an alt, but like, it's one of those, they're starting a new season, like, the 22nd. So that's one of those, like, well, yeah, man, if you're trying to, like, get in with people, like, everybody's going to be making a new character on the 22nd. Is basically how that works. So it's a great way to kind of keep from being left behind by friends and get to explore new content. In general, it seems pretty cool. I mean, I'm happy with it. I know that there's a lot of people complaining. Again, people seem to complain about the games that they
don't play
really like. when they're complaining about the small minutia about like bounds, like, oh God, I'm so fucking mad that this, you know, the unique item that I want isn't dropping fast enough. Like, okay, you're just really excited about this item and it hasn't dropped yet. Like, I get that's frustrating, but like, I don't know if that's a complaint on the game as much as like how much, like, the world doesn't begin and end with Diablo, man.
Yeah, good stuff. Carlos, what have you been playing lately?
I'll just regurgitate some of the stuff that's been said. I've only been playing Final Fantasy 16. I'm, 56% the way through the game now. So I got to the part, Tony, we talked about this during the last episode.
Yeah.
There's a certain part that changes, you know, a lot of stuff.
Yes, yes.
So I'm past that. I didn't do the side quest because I already fucked up, but I don't think there was anything that important on those side quests. So I think I'm good. Yeah, man. Enjoying the game. The story is its highlight.
Yeah, for sure.
The fighting mechanic is second. They did a really great job with the fighting mechanics. Platinum, helped out, so it's vastly improved from 15. So yeah, been enjoying the game like you guys have, and plan on beating it in this weekend. So, well, it sucks we can't talk about the story itself because there are some parts that are pretty interesting to discuss. But yeah.
Final Fantasy 16 spoiler alert. Because I'm probably going to finish it this weekend too, but I'm not rushing. I'm like, it tastes too good,
Yeah, man.
Here's one compliment, another compliment I can give this game, because usually in games, I don't like it when it just throw constant waves of monsters at you. This one, I'm like, yeah, let's fucking go, man. Like, because it's just more fun. Especially some of the abilities I unlocked down. I'm like, yeah, let's keep going,
You fight a wave of enemies and you're like, oh shit, a bunch of potions? All right, here we go.
Yeah, and then you're like, not enough room. It's like, motherfuckers, man. By the way, they finally start giving you quests to expand your potion limits, like literally two-thirds of the way of the game in. I'm like, really? Wow. Come on, what are we doing here? But yeah, you're right. They're always giving you potions, so you're not. I've never died in this game once, man. I'm not saying I'm good. I'm just like, I've gotten to this point where I'm like, oh shit! But I never died yet,
Yeah, it's not that hard to die in this game.
And I check sometimes. So I'm like, did I fuck up and put it on story mode? And I was checking. No, it's in action mode. So like, okay, because that's the normal difficulty, Yeah, sometimes it gets a little too easy, but at the same time, the combat is so much fun. I don't mind. But then when you get those big bosses, man, you got to be on that dodge,
Yeah, some of them spam a lot of stuff. What do you call it? The places that you have to go to. There's certain places you have to go to and destroy.
Bodegas.
The bodegas of this world. But, that's pretty. And there's always these huge things that, do a lot of spray damage. But yo, man, like you talked about this the last show, the kaiju battles, I think are one of the best parts of this
game. Oh yeah. When those come up, man, you already know.
It's crazy because not only is the fighting really good, it's the music is epic, and they always have really big importance to the story.
Yeah,
they're not kaiju. They don't do kaiju battles just to do kaiju battles. All of them have serious implications to the storyline.
That's a damn good. I'm thinking about it now. No, there's literally never been a single of those big kaiju battles that didn't result in a massive change within the actual story. It's not just like, here's a kaiju battle. It's like, it's not superfluous. You're right. It's always meaningful, which is the way it's supposed to be, right? That makes it even more epic because it's going to have an impact on shit.
Mm-hmm. And by the way, that the midway point with the, where everything changes in the middle, we talked about. It's like, and then when a certain character in the hood shows up, he's like, that shit was pretty epic, man. I'm like,
durr. Yeah, you saw it coming though, right?
Definitely. Yeah. Well, they reveal his character beforehand, but even before that, like throughout most of the game, you're like, I'm pretty sure this is this guy.
Yeah.
But yeah, pretty good, man.
Yeah, that was good. That was good, man. Yeah, Final Fantasy 16, man. Good shit. Manny, did you get a chance to play anything?
Not yet. I'm just sort of enjoying my time watching on, animes and stuff.
Sometimes it is.
It's the anime guy.
Yeah, I've been watching. So what is it? We call it Otanime for a second here. Yeah. I've been watching. Nadia, the Secret of Blue Water.
Oh, the old school.
The other show created by the creator of Evangelion.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Good stuff. Which is, man.
It's very, very straightforward compared to his other work.
Yes. That's cool. All right, man. Yeah, go ahead.
That's about it. Nothing, you know, I haven't dived into. I have some things that are waiting for my attention, but I'm not in a rush to sit down and play it.
Yeah.
Wait, one thing. Is that the show he had a nervous breakdown? Was it Nadia?
Well, the Nadia Secret of Blue Water, I know at one point he wasn't working on it for a bit.
Yeah, I know at some point that he had a nervous breakdown or some sort of episode.
I don't know why he would have a nervous breakdown. I don't know why he would have a nervous breakdown. The show is really just, I mean, it's, to be honest, it feels very like.
Well, it's not the show that caused the nervous breakdown, I imagine.
I think it's just his work.
It's just him.
But he always has a nervous breakdown. Yeah. So it's not like it's new.
Well, think about it. Like, during Evangelion, the story changed because he had a nervous breakdown and it went down a complete. And that happened even during the movies. Like, the movies were set, and then he had a nervous breakdown, and the movies went in a different direction, too. You know? Now, looking at it here, so he directed the first 23 episodes, and then the other guy did the last up to 39. Yeah.
So it's part of his process.
Pretty much,
nervous breakdown.
he has to fall apart and then come back. Then you know that somebody else has to take it over. I mean, that's what's happened with him with some of those Shin movies. Those Shin movies are credited to him, but most of them he didn't direct.
Yeah. Yes, right. Yeah, he directed Shin Godzilla, though, I believe. But
he did Shin Godzilla, but
he didn't do. Ultraman. He didn't do. No, he didn't do that.
Kamen Rider. I don't think it's him.
No, it's not him. He's just a producer.
He's a producer, and he's sort of like an idea man. But they're not really letting. He's not really directing anything.
Yeah.
But the marketing will lead you to believe that in Japan.
Yeah, that's true. But Shin Godzilla was him. That whole movie was definitely him. You know.
Yeah.
Like when you're watching, like this is some Evangelion shit, man. You know. Crazy, Mr. Hidetaki Anno, you know? All right, man, we're done here. Good stuff. Again, not a long episode, not a lot happened in the gaming industry. But, you know, we're not like those other podcasts. We're like, hey, nothing happened this week. We're going to take a week off. Nope, Throwdown don't do that, man. We keep it trucking, you know? Anyway, let's get out of here. So let us plug some stuff. I am Negan. What's going on with that?
Still covering Dead City, and we got some other news for this week, I guess, if we record tomorrow or this Saturday, but stuff regarding some of the other spinoffs. Some good news, some bad news, but overall, you know, it's out there. I am Negan, Spotify, iTunes, YouTube, Coalition, of course. It's funny, though. I've seen some numbers go up, so I think people are interested in Dead City, probably. Trying to figure out if it's even worth watching, which it is. It's worth watching. I don't know about the other spinoffs, but this one is worth watching. So we'll break down the next episode this week. Check it out.
Good stuff. All right, people, you already know, man. So make sure you follow Throwdown on Twitch and Twitter. Join the Discord where the conversations and the rumors are always popping. You can also find us on any podcast app by searching for Throwdown Show. That's two words. Throwdown Show. Throwdownshow.com to listen to past episodes. And if you've been watching us on YouTube and enjoyed our videos, make sure you hit like, subscribe, and hit the bell to be notified of when our premieres go live. Links to everything down below. Once again, I was your host, Tony Polanco, and tonight I was joined by Emilio Lopez.
See you next time.
Chris Seeley.
Hey, take care, everyone.
Carlos Romero.
Peace out.
Adam Vale. It's a free Sunday. And
boy, you didn't hear me.
No, we didn't even say it again.
Have a good weekend, everybody.
There you go. And yeah, and Brett Murdoch.
Deuces.
All right, people. Oh, crazy.
That's why, because I was playing some Mario Kart.
That's what you motherfuckers. All right, people. Yeah. Can't stop, won't stop. And. All right, people. We will see you on Sunday. Later.
Peace.
Laters.